Welcome to the Do the Woo podcast, where we talk about all things WooCommerce and other news that affects you as a Woo user. I know personally that Liquid Web offers some of the best WooCommerce managed hosting you'll find that'll fit your needs no matter what you are selling or the size of your online store. So I suggest you check them out over at liquidweb.com, and if you use a code BOBWPWOO, that's BOBWPWOO, you'll get 50% off any plan for your first 2 months. So head on over to liquidweb.com. And now on to the show.
And we are back with another episode of the Do the Woo podcast, show number 11. I'm one of your hosts, Brad Williams, and I'm joined by my good friend, Mr. who really doesn't need an introduction, but I'll do it because it says I'm supposed to, Mr. Bob WP. Bob, how's it going, man?
Good. You know, we're setting Brad off to doing the opening of the show sometimes.
How'd I do?
People, yeah, you know, they're like, okay, I've heard enough of Bob, you know. We need to hear a little bit more, Brad.
Did I do all right? Did I pass? I think I got one there.
Yep. I'm already giving a 5-star rating over on iTunes on this particular episode.
And with that, we're done. Let's just wrap it up before it gets worse. I'm very excited about the show. So we have, as if you caught our last show, you know, a little changes. We're bringing on some guests to talk WooCommerce and e-commerce and different people kind of in the field and in the space to bring their thoughts and ideas and opinions to the table. So today we have a new guest, Mr. Jonathan Martin, who is the founder of Cool Blue Web. Thanks for joining us, Jonathan.
You got it, Brad. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, very excited. You are actually, we talked a little bit pre-show, but you're actually out nearish to Bob. You're in the same state, so that counts, right?
Yeah. Where he's in the prettier side of the state. I'm in the city side.
Well, I guess that's all an opinion, right? I think Seattle's pretty beautiful. Yeah. That whole area. So I definitely love the Northwest up there. I go out a few times a year. It's definitely a cool area, cool city, cool vibe. Just good people out there. Yeah. If you can get them to talk to you.
and since I moved, it even got better. So, you know, there's Seattle, cool people, and then there's Bob over on the coast.
Since Bob got ran out of town. I'm excited to have you. This is the first time we've actually met. I know you know Bob just from the local community there. So why don't you tell everyone that isn't familiar with you or what you do, who you are and what you do.
Yeah, awesome. So again, I'm Jonathan Martin, founder of Cool Blue Web. I started Cool Blue Web just about 10 years ago. I was actually a merchant. I ran several e-commerce stores myself. Wanted to start some kind of an agency, was kind of in love with SEO and paid search at the time, and really kind of set out to build an SEO and paid search company. And in the kind of, you know, prospecting and initial building of that company, somebody found out, one of our customers found out that, you know, I also have these e-commerce stores and we're doing this e-commerce work. And they said, great, why don't you work on my e-commerce store? And then another customer said, hey, I need you to work on my e-commerce store. And it wasn't but about 18 months later that all we did was e-commerce. We didn't even do SEO or digital marketing anymore. We just kind of started from there. We originally started on the Magento platform. Then Woo came out. Our very first WooCommerce store was actually a baby diaper delivery service. So they'd come, you'd order your nappies online and they'd schedule them out. They'd come pick up the dirty diapers and drop off clean ones. And it was a really kind of, you know, fun Woo project actually. It's all the way grown up to today where, you know, almost all we do today is WooCommerce development work. Our Magento side of the business is pretty small now.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, once you have a kid, the diaper subscription service is like the most important delivery in your life because you certainly don't want to run out of nappies.
My wife and I had a couple of tense moments at 10:30 at night with the blowout. We have three kids. Where I am, you know,
you've been there
to the local mini mart to get a couple of extra.
Man, anyone that has a kid knows those fun stories. So, that's really cool. And I love hearing the backstory of how it was kind of unintentional that you've narrowed your focus into the e-commerce space. It really sounds like it just came from demand via your clients and one after the other. Next thing you know, I mean, how that worked? Did you just realize that's what you're really good at and your clients want it, so it just made sense, or was it a little bit different than that?
It's a combination of that, right? So I loved building e-commerce stores, right? That was something that it's a lot of fun, right? There's a lot of moving parts. There's a little bit of complexity. There's some problem to solve. I myself am not really design oriented. And so I'm more systems and process oriented. And so there's a lot of processes and systems to get set up to run an e-commerce store effectively. And then we also really found that people that run e-commerce stores, their website is their livelihood. And so it's really important to them. And they're looking to create strong relationships rather than a dentist or an auto repair shop. While their website's important to them, once it's built, they kind of want you to go away and they don't want that long-term relationship. And we really wanted to build long-term relationships with our customers.
Yeah, that's smart. I mean, you know, we look at websites and the way we describe them and just WordPress in general, right? Like it's really, you know, they say it's free as in beer. And it's like, well, it's my favorite description is free as in like a puppy, right? Like, yeah, the puppy might be free, but it doesn't mean once you get the puppy, you're done, right? There's always going to be costs. And whether that's a dollar amount or just a time and resource thing, there's always a cost to maintaining what you have and to grow it and to make it more successful. And if you just launch a site and leave it, it's not going to do that. You know, you've essentially plateaued on launch day, which is not where you want to be. So I do think e-commerce is a very interesting space because just as somebody who runs a web development agency as well, there's a lot of very unique challenges and obstacles and considerations just in e-commerce outside of just the normal managing a website. Like there's a lot of considerations to make a successful store and a lot of things you can do to tweak and adjust and get those conversions. So that's why I always really, like you, I find building e-commerce sites really interesting because just those new set of challenges, which is developers and, you know, people in the web space, I think that's what we thrive on is challenges, you know? So, but it sounds like it's been going good. You've been pure e-commerce, you say a year and a half, was that right? 18 months?
18 months into the start of the company, right? So that was what, 8 years ago?
Gotcha. So it's been a while. So yeah. You guys are perfected.
there's what, 18 of us here today. And you know, we've been a Woo partner since they started the partnership program, and you know, we love it, right? Talking about that relationship piece, one of the best things about e-commerce is we actually quit selling project work, right? Every engagement that we sell is kind of retainer partnership based. We may do a spike to do someone to build, but everything we sell is in that kind of, you know, we want to start thinking about year two on day one. How do we do that? But yeah, so, you know, our we have 13 devs on staff, 8 of which are on the Woo team. So
how is that? Before we kind of dive into topics, maybe another question or two, but I really find it interesting. You're obviously focused on Magento and WooCommerce. You mentioned both are open source platforms. Both are vastly different. If you're familiar with Magento at all, there are obviously some similarities in terms of, you know, e-commerce, but Magento is a monster in terms of what it can do. I mean, you mentioned you have certain devs for Woo. Do they kind of teeter on both sides of the house, or do you have like dedicated staff just for Magento versus Woo? Because I got to imagine the way you're working with those sites and those clients, it has to be different.
Yeah. So we used to have, I used to make everybody do everything. And you know, I lied to myself and say, well, I'm making them better developers, right? We're making them more well-rounded, but that really wasn't the truth. I was just, you know, frustrating people and not letting them develop expertise. Mm-hmm. Today we have a couple of people that, you know, sit on the fence and kind of go back and forth just because that's the way their brains work. But most of the people on our Woo team just do WooCommerce development, and the people on our Magento team just do Magento work. The polite way to talk about Magento is that it's a very sophisticated platform. You know, that's the nice way to say it's really, really complicated and sometimes convoluted, right? In order to do something in Magento, sometimes it takes 10 steps on what it would take you to do one step on Woo. Right. And in that trade-off, you get significantly more kind of functionality out of the box, and it scales really well. And there's a bunch of great things, but I mean, there's a lot more technical depth that comes with the Magento store. Sure.
Yeah, Magento is one of those platforms that for larger stores that come in, I mean like big stores, that's usually the platform I recommend for those kind of larger scale, you know, e-commerce with, you know, if you need systems that are really integrated into your warehousing system, or maybe you have multiple warehouses, things like that. Like, I just feel like, yes, WooCommerce could do it, but the amount of extra kind of customizations behind the scenes wouldn't make it worth it necessarily when something like Magento has a lot of that stuff available. But you're right, that's a good comparison, almost like a WordPress to Drupal comparison, you know. Maybe not quite as big of a gap, but you know, Drupal has a little bit more of a learning curve and generally can take a few more steps to get where you need to go, but it's obviously a very powerful platform as well. So very cool.
It wouldn't make as good of a podcast because it wouldn't be, you know, what do you say? Do the Magent?
Do the mag?
The mag.
I remember I interviewed the founder of Magento. I mean, this was like when I first started like getting into podcasting with SitePoint. I can't remember the guy's name now, but this was pre like acquisition from eBay. Well, multiple acquisitions now, but you know, this is just when it seemed like it was really starting to gain some traction out there. And now it's a freaking $1 billion, you know, open source project.
It's gonna be really interesting to see what Adobe does with them, right? I mean, it's a very, very interesting thing.
Yeah, it is for sure. So cool. Well, thanks for sharing a little bit about you and your company and your story. But let's, we've got a few topics we want to dive into. So you want to kick it off the first one, Bob?
Yeah, let's see. What is it? The very first one I found that actually got it from WP Tavern. WooCommerce Blocks is now a feature plugin. Introduces 6 new blocks. I played around with it. In fact, I'm playing around with. In fact, I actually updated my site to 5.0.3 Sunday. But that's another whole story. But everything went fine. I'll just say that it all went very smooth. The new blocks. So originally you could do a displayed as a grid and be filtered by category. Now you can use best selling products, top rated products, news products, on sale products. So, and now it's also a featured plugin. They say it's more polished and tested. It's nothing like major, but I think as I get into it more with the different blocks, especially a lot of the plugins I'm doing, I'm finding that, I don't know, it's just a different workflow. And the fact now that you can more easily put in, you know, these WooCommerce products or one product or however many you choose to into pages and posts for any reason that you might want to. I'm just finding it pretty slick, and I'm liking it. You know, what can I say? I'm just that way. But I think this plugin's it's going to be interesting to see what else they do with this, you know, what the future holds with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a cool plugin. I actually like the fact it's a plugin versus directly in core, at least for now, just because it's early stages. Like Gutenberg just came out last month, which is a requirement for this, whether you use the plugin or you're running, you know, core Gutenberg, WordPress 5.0 or above. But the fact that it's a plugin means they can really iterate quickly, right? Get versions out every week or couple of weeks, whatever. So they can really move on the development versus if it's in core, that immediately is going to slow it down. You're only going to get a new version every time a new version of WooCommerce ships. So honestly, with featured plugins, great, which it'll get more attention, more eyeballs, and probably more work on it. But I don't necessarily think everything needs to get shoved into core because it can just develop faster on it, you know. But this definitely makes a ton of sense. Automatic, WordPress, you know, automatic's all in, obviously, with Gutenberg. So it makes sense that anything they own is also all in. So I fully expected this for WooCommerce to see blocks continue to be pushed into all their core products, WooCommerce being really probably the biggest. It's nice to see. I mean, the one thing I would say is they need to get the ratings up because the reviews are pretty bad for this plugin. They have one 5-star review and it says, I don't think it was meant to be a 5-star because the only 5-star review says very weak. So
very weak.
No, I'm sorry. It says very, very weak. So I feel like they didn't mean to click 5-star on that.
Yeah, maybe they're dyslexic or something.
I think the problem is everyone's saying, well, they turned it on, it broke everything. Cause I don't think they totally understand what it means by just introducing blocks into a site that isn't ready for it. You know what I mean? things may not just magically work. And I think that is an educational thing around blocks and Gutenberg across the board. Is it's not always just going to work with what you have. You have to make sure it's compliant and works well with Gutenberg and the block editor and test it. You know, you can't just turn things on and expect it to be perfect. So cool plugin though.
Yeah, it's definitely, and you know, speaking of, and this is kind of interesting because this segues into something we just recently had a local WooCommerce meetup, and surprisingly, Jonathan was at it, and he talked for a little bit of time about some Woo stuff, but then he brought in one of his team members, Nina, and she was talking about the ACF for blocks on WooCommerce, and myself, I found it fascinating till she started talking about code. And then, of course, I zoned out. But, you know, the rest of it was, I got the concept of it. And I know, Brad, you have some thoughts on that. And I don't know, Jonathan might be able to chime in. But, you know, kind of that versus, you know, using Gutenberg for the blocks or using ACF for blocks as far as WooCommerce goes.
I mean, that like anyone that is either building and maintaining sites or an agency or company that builds and maintains sites, like there's a lot of kind of internal discussions that I'm sure everybody's already having, right? Or is should be if they're not. And that is kind of how are we building sites, you know, in a Gutenberg world, I guess, you know, and this is beyond just kind of WooCommerce, right? This is a WordPress question. How should you build sites? Should you use core Gutenberg and customize and build, you know, blocks customized for your clients or customized for your site? Should you use another tool like an ACF or anything else? There's other ones, I'm sure, or at least there will be, that will kind of build these for you. They'll still be Gutenberg blocks, but you're using another tool to do it. If so, do you trust the tool? Is it a part of your arsenal? Like, you have to have these kind of larger conversations to decide, do you even want to use Gutenberg blocks? You know, like there's no reason you have to, like, right? Like, we're still building sites that are pure ACF with no Gutenberg. And, you know, so we've been talking about this internally for over a year, you know, leading up to when it releases, like, what's our plan? And, you know, our stance, while it's always going to be evolving because it should as technology, but our current stance is to really evaluate the needs of the client and make a decision based on that. Like, we're not just 100% all in with Gutenberg just for the sake of using Gutenberg, right? Like, that may not be the best experience for our client. It might very well be the best experience, but it may not be. So just like anything else, we evaluate the goals that the client is looking to hit for the project, for the website. And we work backwards. What's the best way to get to those goals, to accomplish those goals? And that includes not just hitting the goals, but also how they manage their site to get to those goals, right? And a lot of people, I think, overlook that aspect of development. And Jonathan, you could probably speak to that. But the admin, the administration, is just as important, sometimes maybe even more important than, you know, what's public. Because if they can't actually put out there what they want to put out there in the way that makes sense to them, then they're not going to do it, right? They're just not going to put it out there. So.
Yeah, software needs to support business. Business doesn't need to support software, right? I mean, that's something that it's if you get hire a dev that really doesn't understand what you need as a business owner, you can get a mismatch and you can have a great piece of software that you can't use. And if it doesn't do what you need it to do, or makes it hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we use ACF here to build most of our sites in Woo and WordPress. And we use this thing called Section Builder that we've developed here, where it uses ACF and it builds out different kind of sections. And then you can, you know, make those sections allowable. And our team developed something here internally called Gutenbridge, which allows those sections to kind of be pulled into a Gutenberg block, right? And so it's still ACF, but the ACF is being used in a block. And so it can be used, it's kind of a hybrid between the two, rather than, you know, just sticking on the ACF side. You can still call the blocks out with Gutenberg.
I like that approach. I think I like hybrid approaches like that, because ACF is a tried and true tested tool. One that a lot of people trust, you know, including, I think, all of us on this show. So, you know, someone building out blocks using ACF is fine if that's the way they need to work and it gets the client what they need. I don't see anything wrong with that, but yeah, I think a hybrid approach is a smart move. I think over time, it probably will lean more towards doing everything kind of directly in Gutenberg and, you know, core Gutenberg development. But I feel like it's a transitional period, and that when that time comes, I don't know. I think it's still a ways out. You know, I think it's just, you know, evolutionary as You don't want tools in there just to have tools in there that you're comfortable with. You want the right tools in there, right? So, and right now, I think the right tool is still to look at ACF as a really strong contender and still to use it. You know, I don't think you have to go all in with Gutenberg just because it's the new hotness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and for all the sites that are already existing, there isn't really a rush, right? You don't have to worry about moving in that direction and changing everything you've already built. You know, the sites that are going to be built using Gutenberg only blocks should be new sites. The new sites that are rolling out, let that kind of prove out the model and develop that technology. There's no reason to have to reinvest just to change the way you edit your site.
Yeah, completely. And it can be selective too. Like one thing we've noticed is while Gutenberg is great for that kind of long form content, like on a blog, it doesn't mean they necessarily need it in other sections of the site or other content types of the site. So you could also isolate it by the type of content. So like for WooCommerce, like it could make a lot of sense using Gutenberg for like the product pages, because you could build these really beautiful product pages with all your content. But maybe you don't need it for pages because you literally just do static, like here's our privacy policy, here's our contact page, and it's overkill, you know? So it could be a little selective that way, but it's definitely an interesting topic because we're all talking about it internally. Some people are doing it more publicly, some aren't, but it's an important question to ask yourself and ask your team. Is what we're doing today what we should continue to do, or do we need to adjust based on some of this new technology that's coming out?
Yeah, cool. I had that conversation with our Woo lead, Will, and it was kind of interesting. My question to him, so I'm not a developer. It used to be a hack for a developer, but it's been so long that, you know, I don't know. I can't code my way out of a paper bag. that was my worry, right? Like, is what we're doing today going to be obsolete in 3 or 4 years? And his answer was no. He didn't think so. That, you know, sure, there's going to be new technologies, and there is going to be a new way to kind of create fields within Gutenberg and within the blocks. But that isn't available really yet. And so ACF still, it just saves the devs so much time to be able to use that within the blocks.
Yeah. It's my advice with anything technology is always look out into the horizon, right? You need to be able to see what's coming, but then you need to also take that and realize, is this what we should be using or not? Because a lot of technology that comes down, and I'm not trying to say it's not good, but it gets all this buzz because it's new and that gets people excited. But that doesn't mean, you know, just because we're using React on some things that we need to become 100% React shops and not touch anything else. We should know React and we should understand how to use it and where it makes sense. But, you know, I feel like some people kind of rush to it just because of the buzzwordiness of some of this stuff. And React may not be the best example, but it's the most relevant to a lot of the stuff we're talking about, you know? So, do what's best for you, do what's best for your clients. Obviously you don't want to lock them into anything that can't be, you know, adjusted down the road. But you know, there's a lot of options out there and there's not, it's just like anything in technology, there's no one right answer. Yeah. A lot of different ways to get to where you're trying to go.
Well, good job. You two took it and run, and my iPods died during that conversation. I had to switch to my headphones, so everything is moving right along here.
Professionals,
Oh yeah. I was gonna turn off the video, but then you thought probably maybe I just croaked or something.
Bob just left.
He's left. He's,
he does not agree with what we just said.
Yeah, I've lost it, buddy. I don't know. I lost you guys. So I'm just going to mention this next thing because we have a few more things we want to talk about. But the WC admin version 0.5.0 was released. None of us are using it, but I just thought it would be good to mention it in case somebody is into it or interested enough to go see the new highlights of that. You can check that out on the Develop WooCommerce site. I'm going to kind of move right to the next one because this actually just came out the day we're recording this, and I know you put that up, Brad. What's going on with the mobile app?
Breaking news. There's a new WooCommerce mobile app, which is apparently, by all accounts, it seems like it's brand new. Like they've replaced the old one. It's a little bit hard to get that information out of the different posts.
Yeah,
but that's the impression I get from what I've seen. Basically, there's a new WooCommerce app. It's available on Android and iPhones on the iOS on the App Store today. So you can do a search called WooCommerce mobile app. But some of the key features, this is for store admins, you know, people managing the store. You track your store, you know, obviously see the products. It's really got to focus on reporting is what I'm getting out of it. You can definitely manage orders, which I think is cool. And honestly, the big one for me, real-time order alerts, like with a little cha-ching. So every time an order comes in, cha-ching, you know, like that's if, you know, when I run a store, or I used to run stores, not anymore, but that's all I wanted to hear all day long was I that's the one notification I would never mute is that cha-ching, like an order just came in. So to be able to be out and about on your phone and get real time, like, you know, money's coming in, is pretty cool. So, it's up on, they got a post on WooCommerce.com about it with some of the details. But it definitely looks like a complete refresh. So like you said, it's breaking. It just came out today. So have not had a chance to play with this either, but we will definitely be checking out. What do you guys think? Is this, you think they nailed it this time?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think the, like you said, it's interesting because I remember years ago when I was actually doing sites, I was working with somebody and they weren't using WooCommerce, but they were using, Square on their site. And I was meeting with him, and during the entire time he sold hummingbird feeders at the Pike Place Market in Seattle at a booth there, which is a very popular place. And he would be notified every time there was a sale there from one of his people that were manning the booth. And he seemed to get a little distracted when we were talking about his site, because he'd look over and he'd go, "Man, so-and-so is doing really good today." And you could hear this little bing, bing, bing and stuff. And so yeah, those notices are nice. In that was kind of a long answer to that, but I think that I think that it's, you know, I don't run a WooCommerce store either, but I think anything you can get on mobile is any information you can get as far as and or gather anything like tracking your store and stuff. What do you think, Jonathan?
I think for small business owners, right? For what they call SOHO, self-employed home operators, right? Like the app is a great opportunity for them to kind of stay in touch with their store while they're out and about throughout their day. Mm-hmm. I think that the app, those types of apps begin to lose their effectiveness once, you know, the store grows to any significant size. You know, if you're getting 100 or 200 orders a day, that little ding going to be more annoying and not really helpful than anything else, right? You know, but still, right? I think for, you know, like my wife sells products on Amazon, and, you know, she sells anywhere. She gets anywhere from like 15 to 25 sales a day. And you know, that's exciting for her, right? Like to see that kind of stuff come through. And so I think that for, you know, the large majority of WooCommerce merchants are out there are in that kind of zone. And I think that, you know, having an app is great for that.
Yeah, it's definitely cool at a high level too, how you can kind of see your, you know, stats in terms of visitors, orders, revenue per day, week, months at a glance. Also, I think the manage order piece, on the surface, it looks kind of vanilla. And obviously, this seems to be like the first version of it. But I think this is a pretty powerful tool, because I can imagine, you know, again, a smaller store. But if you're, you know, filling boxes in someone's garage, you know, I could see where, you know, the people that actually are doing the work have a tablet or a phone on them versus a laptops, because just because it's more mobile, they can walk around the garage or the warehouse or whatever. You can add tracking information. You can, you know, fulfill the order. You can add notes. I'm assuming they'll expand on that. So you could probably be a full pick and pack kind of mini system right there on your phone, which would be great for the small business. I think obviously the larger companies are going to have a whole warehousing system and, you know, specific software for picking and shipping orders. But on a small scale, this might actually be a really good option for people to actually manage the orders.
Yeah, if it has that order fulfillment side, that would be a very beneficial feature to have.
Yeah, I'm just looking at screenshots. There's definitely a fulfill order button. There's a way to add tracking. It looks basic, but it looks like probably the start to something that could be a lot more robust, which is pretty cool. So, yeah, if you check it out, it's WooCommerce.com/mobile, or you can just go to the Google Play or App Store, download it. And the other tip I like to give people, you know, open source is great. I think a lot of people don't even think about it, but these apps, these mobile apps, they're all open source. So if you've ever wanted to kind of dip your toe into iOS or Android development, this is an app that literally all the source code is available online. So sometimes deconstructing something that already works is one of the best ways or quickest ways to kind of wrap your head around how to do, you know, app development or any development. So you go check it out on GitHub, pull down the source code and just start hacking away at it, you know? So it's a great way to kind of learn those different platforms.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, we usually round it out with talking about some of our favorite tools, Woo stuff. I'm going to have Jonathan actually start because I know he has a couple things, but we kind of saved his what's new with Jonathan at the end too, because he has something kind of cool that's in beta. So why don't you start and tell us a couple things you kind of, you know, tools that you like, or actually you're part of, I should say, that you want to share?
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Buff. Yeah. So we actually have a product right now that we're launching here called Verify WP. And so just a little story about what it is. It's a WordPress developer candidate testing system. So, I mean, I've run a WordPress agency for almost 10 years. I've hired 60 plus WordPress developers over those years. And I'm about 50% successful at hiring a developer. I'm supposed to be good at it, right? And, you know, about half the time, I'm not. Half the time, 3, 4, 6 weeks into that relationship, they're either not experienced enough or they don't have the right work ethic to actually kind of make it within our company. And so we developed a candidate assessment platform to try to kind of, you know, improve that success rate. One of the biggest challenges that we have is Nina, right? You met Nina at the meetup earlier this week, or I guess that was last week. As an agency owner, I would post a job posting and I'd get about 80 resumes, but I don't have time to call 80 people. And so what I would do is I would, you know, pick a day and I would call 10 of those people. But how do you get 80 resumes down to 10? You know, you filter out the people that clearly aren't qualified. You filter out the people who you don't like the format of their resume. You filter out people, you know, who you know, you make up rules in your mind on who's going to be a good fit for your company and who's not. Like one of my rules was, you know, I wasn't going to hire someone that was relocating because I would feel responsible if I had to let them go 2 weeks later. I wasn't going to hire someone who wasn't a U.S. citizen because I didn't know what the legal ramifications were about that. And I was just, you know, I wanted a simple life as a business owner and didn't want to have to worry about that. And Nina, you know, meets both those requirements. She relocated and is a Canadian citizen, not a US citizen. So she actually, I would have filtered her out. And so I think that, you know, normally when I get these 80 resumes and I filter it down to 10, that I've often left the best candidate on the table. And not even called them, not even given them an opportunity to come in for an interview. And so we took our team of WordPress developers and built out this testing platform with, you know, three different types of tests, because the WordPress community is very diverse and lots of people call themselves a developer and they mean very different things. And so we created a test for what we call WP Builder. And that would be someone that's, you know, great at building sites using a Visual Composer or a Divi or, you know, kind of a drag and drop interface. And there's lots of people that are making beautiful functioning sites using platforms like that. We created a test called WP Themer, which is for someone that's building themes. They're solid HTML, CSS, JavaScript. They're really good at taking PSDs and turn them into themes or, you know, whatever it needs to be. And then a test called WP Developer, which is really more focused on, you know, plugin development, integrations, that style of development. And the concept is that a hiring manager would buy into the system. They'd get access for 60 days. They'd get 100 invitations and they'd invite all 80 people that applied for that job. And then whoever, you know, was serious about that job would then take the test. And then they would actually look at the results of the test and call the top 10. Which 10 got the best scores on the test? Now, the test can't tell whether or not your developer wears deodorant or if they're going to show up to work on time or any of those kind of soft skills that are very important in this world. But at least they have the opportunity to only talk to the most qualified candidates. It's in beta right now. We're doing usability testing. We're hoping to be fully live kind of middle of February with it.
I love it. Definitely a challenge I've experienced firsthand. Hiring, you're right, is difficult. Hiring is extremely time consuming. And you don't want to leave the best candidates on the table. And you're right. Sometimes the only way to figure that out is to get on a phone or a video or meet with them, you know, for a proper interview. So I actually looked this up. This first I heard of it when Bob mentioned you were coming on the show. And I think it's a great idea because I haven't seen anything like this before.
Yeah, this is interesting.
There's like developer testing platforms out there. There's Codility. There's a bunch of other kind of larger ones, but they're for big software engineering teams where you have your, you know, lead engineer go in and craft the test. You know, an agency just doesn't have the time for that.
Yeah.
We don't have, you know, my devs, they live and die by the billable hour. I need them working. I don't need them developing tests and figuring that stuff out. So.
Yeah, I'm excited. Maybe I get a beta invite when it's ready. Kick the tires a little bit for you. But I think it's, like I said, I think it's really cool. And you're right. There are other platforms out there for testing, but I've never seen anyone specific to WordPress like this. So yeah, honestly, you know, if you can save some time, then it's huge. And you're right. Find that right person is critical, you know? So
a bad hire, costs thousands and thousands of dollars. I mean, you know, if someone stays in your company for 5 weeks, you paid them for 5 weeks. Now you got to pay someone else to fix their work, right? It gets very expensive.
Yeah. And just overall company morale, right? You got to have the right people. Cause that can definitely affect, the people that are doing the right things. If you start to bring in the people that shouldn't be there. So, yeah, there's a lot of hiring touches a lot of aspects, really all aspects of a company, you know? So it's that important that you get the right people in. So anything to make that process either easier, more accurate is definitely, going to be a really good idea.
All right. So, and what else? You had a mastermind that's going on too, Jonathan?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're a WooCommerce partner, or expert, I think is what they call them. There, you know, Woo didn't do a WooConf this year. And so, you know, I said, you know, approached Todd over at Automattic and said, hey, what about we put on kind of a mastermind group and invite the WooCommerce experts, the ones that want to come. And I said, you know, hey, let's, you know, maybe do it in Vegas. And he said, well, hey, how about Atlanta? So we can get some of our European friends to come over. And so we did, right? So on February 11th, 12th, and 13th, we're going to hold a, you know, it's a small mastermind, you know, 20, 30 agencies out to kind of come and really share best practices. We have some speakers coming. So we'll have, you know, Todd Wilkins from Automattic, the head of WooCommerce. We'll have Jason Swank, who's another podcaster in the agency space. And a TED speaker called David Rendell. He does this great talk called Pink Goldfish and Freak Factor. But the real value is actually going to be sitting in a room with other agency owners. And we have these sessions where each agency that is in attendance needs to bring a 15 or a 20 minute presentation on the best practice that has helped their business grow over the last year. And so if you are an agency owner, I mean, imagine sitting in a room with other people and hearing their best tip. And for some people it's, you know, how they run their retainer system. For some people it's how they do their hiring. For some people it's what their proposals look like. For some people it's what their project management style is. And, you know, I'm a member of another one of these masterminds. It's called the Digital Mastermind Group. And it's mainly kind of marketing agencies and HubSpot agencies. And, you know, one guy got up there and he shared how he lost his business 1 year and, you know, he went bankrupt and it was really interesting to hear. And, you know, he had the courage to come and show up and share his story about how, you know, he made a couple of bad decisions in sequence and it ended up turning out to, you know, him losing his whole company. And it was, wow. It was really awesome to hear him share that and bring that kind of knowledge to the table. And, you know, I mean, when I came back from that event, we changed some practices within our agency because, you know, I'm like, what can we do to make sure that never happens to us? And so that's our goal and plan. There are still a few tickets left, right? I think we have 5 more spots available. I'm really excited to put it on. It's going to be a 3-day conference. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, I really like these kind of focused, smaller, you know, events like this, these masterminds or, you know, whatever you want to call them. I've heard of a number of them over the years. Some big, some small. I generally think the small ones are probably something that I would be more interested in just because it's more intimate. You probably get more out of it versus like 100, 200 person conference. How many people is the cap for this one?
Yeah. So the cap is at 30 people.
30, nice.
So it's small, right? The goal is to build relationships, right? So, I mean, you're going to be hanging out together from 8 to 5 all day long, kind of in, you know, presentations and that kind of stuff. And we're going to go out to dinner together afterwards. And any bigger than that, and it's difficult to really get to know people. The goal is to, you know, I mean, it's, I've, I almost never, I mean, we're a WooCommerce partner. There's like 30 WooCommerce experts. I almost never go up head to head against another WooCommerce experts. It's not really like we're competitors. And so it's like a rising tide raises all ships. And so if we can all kind of help each other to be better, the focus is that, you know, we can kind of raise, get more logos, raise WooCommerce to more of an enterprise level acceptance.
Yeah. All right. Very cool.
Yeah.
No, awesome. My tool isn't as exciting as that. In fact, it sounds very lame, but I guess I shouldn't say that because it's a great little plugin. That was really the wrong term to use.
It's only a little lame.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just not quite as, I don't know, robust as what Jonathan has going on between his two, the mastermind and the new website. But it's a plugin I used a lot in the past, and I've written about the WooCommerce Customizer plugin. It's a free plugin by my friends over at SkyVerge. And I know a lot of people go, oh, you know, a lot of this stuff can be done in the code, but some of us don't want to deal with that crap. So, you know, you can do things like you can change the cart button text easily. You can change the number of products displayed on per page, customize tab titles, customize the button text on the product page, change the login message, change the coupon text, a whole bunch of free stuff that is easy to do. And like I said, some of us just need that. We need easy. And I'm always into easy. So it's a sweet little plugin. I'll put a link in there, but it's called the WooCommerce Customizer plugin that you can get over on the repository on WordPress.org.
Nice. And I have one last minute. You didn't think I had one, did you, Bob?
No, I didn't. Okay. Okay. I see it there.
I didn't until about 10 minutes ago. So I'm going to give a shout out to Joe Casabato because I stole this off one of his posts. Joe runs some great courses over at creatorcourses.com. And I actually had to look up how to pronounce this. And thankfully on their about page, it has it. So it's called Metoric, Metoric.
Is that meteoric?
Metoric. That's what I thought. And then on their about page, it's like Metoric.
Okay.
So, yeah. But it says they're open to interpretation. I was thinking it was meteoric too, but anyways, it's a really, really powerful kind of add-on for WooCommerce stores. It basically pulls in all of your data and does some really crazy advanced reporting across really all aspects of your site. It also does like cart abandonment emails and reports around that, some customer service stuff. But it's really like really specific, granular, detailed reporting that you can pull. And they have a great example like on their segmenting piece. You know, imagine you want to find all your customers that have registered in the past year, so relatively recent. They've spent over $100 but made just one order, and their last order was over 6 months ago. And boom, you got a CSV of all those customers. So you can imagine just with that bit of granularity, the type of stuff you can get out of the system, use that in your marketing efforts, you know, use that in just understanding your data and your customers and what's working and not working with your products and your sales. And does way more than that. I'm definitely giving you a high level overview, but definitely looks like a powerful tool if you're running a, you know, pretty serious WooCommerce store and you want to start digging more into the data. I love data. A lot of times it's trying to understand how to use the data. That is, well, most of the time, that's the challenge, right? All this great data, what do I do with it? Tools like this, I think, make it a little bit more digestible to get the data even more specific, which hopefully can help you make the right decisions to grow your business. So definitely check it out, Metoric.
One of the awesome reports that you can run actually with Metoric, although I always called it Meteoric, but let's say you have product A, you can determine what the most common other product that is purchased alongside of product A. So that's, let's just say product B. And then you figure out what that product B is. And then for everybody that bought product A that didn't buy product B, you send them an email and offer them that, right? Because nice. Your data has shown you that that's the most common second purchase or whatever. And we've seen some stores make some, you know, increase their average order value because of that.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I mean, that's basically like the on Amazon, like other customers who bought this also bought that, right? Like that's there for a reason. You know, or bundle them together, you know, save some money or whatever. But that's Yeah, that's super cool. So definitely a really powerful tool. It is a paid tool, obviously, but honestly, if you bring in an extra sale or two a month, it probably covers the cost right there. So definitely excellent. Worth checking out.
Yep. Very cool stuff. So, well, just before we close out, I want to give another shout out to our sponsor, liquidweb.com, WooCommerce Managed Hosting. If you go there and use the coupon BobWPWoo, you'll get 50% off your first 2 months on any of their plans. So you might want to check it out. So what do you say we wrap this up, huh, Brad?
Yeah, I think we... I don't even know what time we're at, huh?
I think we're in a little, but we just had so much stuff to talk about. You know?
That's great. We're always worried we don't have enough. And then we're like, oh, wow, it's almost an hour. That's how it goes. Yeah, definitely appreciate you joining the show, Jonathan. It was great to hear about your company, your story a little bit, get some of your thoughts, and hopefully get to see each other in person someday.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, it's good to meet you, Brad, and you know, see your face again, Bob, twice in a month.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Might need a little Bob break.
Yeah, really. Time for one. All right, everybody. Well, you can always find us on my site at bobwp.com or your favorite podcasting platform. Till next time, see y'all around.
See ya.
Bye.